All right, so we are now going in live now. This is Austin Roof. You're tuned into KSDP, and we have three very distinguished guests. We have Mr. Paul Mueller. He's the Eastern Aleutian Tribe CEO. Also, we're joined by Dr. Shanda Losey. She's the Chief Medical Officer for Eastern Aleutian Tribes, or the Medical Director. And then we're very fortunate to have Dr. Ann Zink, the Chief Medical Officer for the entire state of Alaska, who's been quarterbacking the response to COVID-19 and helping Alaska lead the way in many good demographics. And just want to say thank you so much for everyone joining today. We'll have great opportunity for questions. And Mr. Paul Mueller, we'll go ahead and hand it over to you.
Thanks, Austin. Really, really happy to be here this morning to speak to the community. And I'm joined by two great people, our medical director, Shanda Losey, and the state's chief medical officer, Dr. Ann Zink. And as you know, you said it, she's been quarterbacking this since the pandemic started last March, March 12th. She's been a phenomenal community partner of ours and helped us with supplies, testing, now with vaccine. And I'm really happy to have her here to help answer some of the questions that have been coming in from the community partners or community members. Because we have great staff at the clinics. We have the vaccine available. So as the theme of the show is, don't be hesitant, roll up your sleeve, get vaccinated. So I was, I have a couple questions for Dr. Losey that have come in from community members and a few for Dr. Zink. So I'll start with Dr. Losey. Dr. Losey, would you like to introduce yourself?
Sure. As Paul said, I'm Shanda Losey. I'm a family medicine physician. I am a member of the Standing Rock Lakota Tribe. I've been working for Eastern Aleutian Tribes for 3 years, almost. And two of those years, I've been the medical director. And before that, I worked in the Alaska Tribal Health System for 13 years. So thank you.
Excellent. So Dr. Losey, I'm just going to go right into the questions here. So one of the questions that came in over the last 24 hours was, how do I get on the list to be vaccinated?
Okay, I appreciate that question because I think that everybody has that question. So I want to just first talk about how we are allocated vaccines because I think that kind of helps explain why people may perceive a little bit of difficulty in getting an appointment for a vaccine. We're allocated vaccines from both the state and IHS, and they determine the number of vaccines per month based on population and based on how many vaccines they are given by the government that particular month. So, unfortunately, we do not have an endless supply of vaccine. We get a set amount that we have to work with each month. In the beginning, so the beginning of January, that really affected how many vaccines we could give, and that is why the state has phases and tiers that they ask people using state vaccine to follow. But we've gotten more vaccine as time has gone on. We're using Moderna in the region of Sandpoint and King Cove, and Moderna comes in multivials. So in one vial, there are several doses of the vaccine that need to be drawn up individually. One vial of Moderna has 10 doses in it. This can be a little bit of a logistical nightmare. It takes a little bit of planning to make sure that we use all of those doses and not waste any of this valuable commodity. I remember when we first delivered vaccine in January, the first week of January, myself and a member of our vaccine team and Paul went from community to community to deliver this. We really felt like we had gold on our hands, and we really treated it very respectfully because we were just so happy and grateful to have this vaccine. So because we've got this multi-dose vial and we have limited supplies, we really have to do a lot of planning to get the vaccine. So if somebody wants the vaccine, the first thing you have to do is contact the clinic so they know that you want it. You get put on a list, and as we gather multiples of 10 so that we can use every vaccine in that vial, then we start to have vaccine clinics where we can vaccinate everyone. But I think the real key piece here is if you want the vaccine, please let the clinic know. You get put on a list, and then we contact you as soon as we're able to get you vaccinated.
Well, that answered the second question about the needed 10 people on the list. Dr. Losey, thank you very much for providing that answer. I'm going to jump over to Dr. Zink. Good morning, Dr. Zink. Thank you again for being a great community partner and joining us today.
Yeah, thank you so much. It's an honor to be here, and it's an honor to speak to Alaskans directly across the state and your beautiful section of the state. So thanks for having me.
Well, we'd like to get you down in the region, and right now we're working on getting hesitancy out and vaccines in. So I have a few questions that have come from community members, not just in the last 24 hours, but over the last couple weeks. And I've taken five of the big ones that have been asked multiple times. And the first one, Dr. Zink, is why get vaccinated since our case counts are so low and I don't travel?
It's a great question. I love Dr. Losey's comment about feeling like she's got gold in her hand. These vaccines work impressively well at making sure that if you are exposed to COVID-19, you do not get sick and you don't need hospitalization, and the chances of you dying are essentially zero with the vaccines that we see right now. So they are incredibly good at preventing this virus from affecting you. And unfortunately, COVID is a tricky little thing. It spreads quietly. There's probably 40 to 50% of people who get it are asymptomatic. And so while you may not travel, someone else in your community may travel. And there's reasons for travel, the critical infrastructure, need for health care, family and friends. And what we continue to see in the state, unfortunately, we still have a lot of COVID circulating, is it can enter some of our smaller communities without it being known, and then it can spread really quickly amongst the community and make a lot of people sick. So this is a way to protect yourself. The other advantage is that if you do get exposed to someone who has COVID-19, you don't need to quarantine. It makes it easier for us to travel. It makes us easier to get together in events and to do additional things. But it's our ticket out of this pandemic. And so it's a great opportunity to protect yourself, protect your family, and protect your community.
So, you know, I'm writing that down, Dr. Zink. Ticket out of the pandemic. Thank you for that. So the next one was, I've been told that the vaccine has killed Alaskans. Is this true?
So at this time, we do not have any evidence to show that the vaccine has actually killed anyone, not only in Alaska, but in the country as a whole. So people who get vaccinated are people, and things happen to people. Even when you look back at the trials, there was, you know, one person who was struck by lightning. It doesn't necessarily mean the vaccine caused them to be struck by lightning, but it happens. And so we look at all the data for everyone who got placebo versus who got vaccine in the trials, and we continue to monitor that across the country and say, are we seeing more people die after vaccine or not after vaccine? And are we seeing the vaccine cause death? And what we see across the country is that less people die if they get vaccinated because it helps to protect against this disease that can kill people. And at this time, there has not been a single death in the country or the state that has been attributed to the vaccine. The CDC encourages us to put in any death, any report, any concern whatsoever into the system called VAERS, so that they can look into it, so they can say, okay, we've seen, you know, 10 people die here. How much would that compare to how many people we would expect to die at that time of year from heart attacks, from other things that cause people to get ill and to die on a regular basis? So they're constantly looking at that data. And unfortunately, I think there's been some misinformation out there where people attribute this very public reporting system of any death, any reaction into the system as contributing that the vaccine caused these things. But that is not the case. That it's just a way to do ongoing monitoring of every single person who may have had anything happen to them after vaccination, so that we can just be extra safe and make sure that this vaccine didn't cause anyone to die and to look for any adverse reactions.
Wow, thank you. Thank you for that information. I think that answers the question perfectly. So I'll jump into number three. Another community member asked, does this modify my DNA or are the microchips being put in me?
Yeah, no, really great question. The answer is clearly no. So this virus is an RNA virus. So it's got all this little RNA, which is a code for the virus so it can replicate. And then the virus itself is surrounded by a fat particle, and then it's got these little spikes off of it, and that's how it enters your cell. It's a whole bunch of RNA that enters your cell normally and then uses your cell to replicate and to produce more virus. That's how this virus works. These vaccines are kind of similar in the sense that they have a little teeny, teeny bit of RNA, a messenger RNA, surrounded by a fat particle that enters your cell, and then uses your cell's structure, the little ribosomes, to produce the spike protein, a little part of the virus, so that your body can create a good immune system. And so it does not enter your DNA. It does not enter the nucleus where your DNA is stored, nor does it enter the mitochondria, what is a little bit DNA. It falls apart super quickly. It actually only lasts a few hours in the cell. It gets taken up by the cell very quickly, and then you produce this little spike protein, and then your body makes both a short-term and long-term immunity. So think of it as, you know, the virus is a kind of a choose-your-own-adventure. It's got a lot of RNA. It enters your cell, and it can cause your body to react in all sorts of ways. Versus the vaccine is like a little tiny key to creating the good immune response without all of the extra RNA that the virus normally has that enters your cell. And it does not enter or change your DNA, and in fact has much less information in it than the virus itself. So it's kind of, again, your ticket out. It's your code to get there. And there's no microchips there. That's all it is. It's this RNA surrounded by this little fat particle so that it can enter the cell. And then it sits in some salts and sugars. And then before Dr. Willoughby and others give it to you, it's diluted in some normal saline, so just salt water, and that's all that's in there. So no cells, no live virus. It can't cause you to test positive. No preservatives, no pork, no gluten. These are all questions that we get. No microchips are in any of it. It's just this little tiny RNA surrounded by fat sitting in some salts and sugars.
Thanks for helping debunk those conspiracy theories. I really appreciate that. I think the community members really needed to hear that. Thank you, Dr. Zenk. So another big one was, why get the vaccine now? Why shouldn't I wait till the booster is available since there are so many variants of the virus out there?
Oh, man. Now. Please consider getting the vaccine now. These vaccines look to work well against the variants. You know, there might be some small changes and not quite as well as this one or quite as well on that one. But basically, these variants happen when the virus is allowed to continue to spread and replicate. Every time that this virus replicates, it has a chance to make a little mistake in its way that it replicates, and that is what creates a variant. Some variants don't transmit as much. Some variants don't make you as sick. But then some transmit easier, and some make you sicker. And this virus, it's really kind of its goal is to just keep replicating. And the only way it can do that is with us. It can't, unlike bacteria that can grow on its own with having food, the viruses actually require our cell structure to be able to replicate and to continue moving forward. So by getting vaccinated, if you get exposed to COVID-19, not only does it help you not get as sick, even with the variants, but it also helps to not let your body replicate that virus as much. So actually, by getting vaccinated, you help prevent replication. You help prevent these variants moving forward. It also helps to keep you healthy. And it looks like these vaccines work fairly well against the variants on the data that we have right now. We'll continue to follow it closely. But there's a lot of conversation nationally and internationally because of the variants on should we, you know, what ways can we speed up vaccination efforts, because our best offense against this virus, including the variants, is to get people vaccinated now. So the first opportunity you have to get vaccinated with any of the vaccines, I would highly recommend you consider getting vaccinated with any of them. They all look like they work fairly well. And you can, you know, pick apart the data on a little bit on this one, a little bit on that one. But the reality is all of them really look to prevent you getting really sick or dying or needing the hospital. And that's the goal. You know, if we've got COVID spreading, it's not making people sick, who cares? We just don't want people to get sick and die, and that's what these vaccines do.
So I'm going to jump in with a question based on what you just said. So with Johnson & Johnson coming out with their single dose, what does that mean for the state of Alaska right now?
Yeah, so the FDA just approved an emergency use authorization for the Johnson & Johnson vaccine. It is going to this council that looks at the data for vaccines this weekend, and we should get some additional information there. We did get a chance to look at the actual raw data in the last 2 days, and it's been great to be able to look through that specifically. We do anticipate Johnson & Johnson vaccine coming into the state likely the beginning of March. We actually just under 9,000 doses for the first 2 weeks of March, and that's across the whole state that will be getting it. So it will be limited at first, and then hopefully with increased production, being able to have more of it. It is a lot easier in the sense that it is one shot, which is great. It was studied later than the other vaccines, and so there were more variants moving around the world when it was studied, so we have more data on how it works against variants. The way that all of these work is they create, your body creates a good response to that spike protein. And so we suspect that all of them work decently well against the variants, but we just have a little bit more data on that with the Johnson & Johnson. And with the Johnson & Johnson, even one shot, the same is true in the fact that it really minimizes the chance of needing hospitalization or death, which is great. The data from Johnson's a little bit more complex because it was studied in different parts of the world with different variants circulating at that time. And so the chance of getting, you know, mild symptomatic disease appears to be in some regions a little bit more than the two-dose vaccine. But again, for me at the end of the day, and also practice in the emergency department, I just don't want people to get so sick they need hospitalization. And all of these vaccines look like they do that. We'll have more information hopefully in the next week when we're able to see even more data that's going to come out with the ACIP. But at this moment, looking at the data that I've seen, you know, I would happily take any one of these vaccines because they look well at preventing hospitalization and death.
So can I put you on the spot? Have you been vaccinated,
please,
Dr. Zink?
I have been vaccinated. I feel sometimes guilty because not everyone in the state has had the opportunity to get vaccinated. But as I mentioned, I work and I practice in the emergency department, see patients, worked actually last night, and see a lot of COVID-positive patients. And so we vaccinated healthcare workers first. And so I was able to get vaccinated at that time. And I was, you know, like everyone, you know, a little nervous, curious, looked at the data. I really think that it's, for me, it's less about vaccine hesitancy and more about vaccine confidence, asking all these great questions so that people feel confident in the decision that they want to make. So I looked at the data myself and made the decision to get vaccinated. My arm was a little sore for the day afterwards. It kind of felt hot. And I was like, oh, man, I might not feel well. It kind of really feels hot. I might get a good reaction. And then the next day I woke up and it was totally gone and I felt fine. The second dose, the data shows, can cause slightly more symptoms, fever, achy arm, redness and swelling at the site, and that's both for the Moderna and Pfizer. So I was a little nervous on what that would do as well, but actually worked an overnight shift, got it after that, and woke up after a nap, had a little bit of a headache, which is pretty common for me after an overnight shift, and that was it. Had a cup of coffee, and life was good again. So I actually had very, very minimal reaction. That was the extent of my reaction. And the sense of relief, honestly, getting vaccinated has been tremendous. I don't think I was personally expecting how emotionally relieved I was. I just, you know, even last night in the emergency department, took care, you know, of a gentleman in his 40s, otherwise healthy, really, really sick, being admitted. And he said, you know, I just thought this was the flu. And it's just heartbreaking to see people getting so sick from this disease. And I think our state has been so lucky not to have tons of disease and tons of people getting sick that it's totally understandable that people would be like, well, why would I get it? I don't know anyone who's been infected or I've otherwise been well. But if you end up being that person or that's your loved one, it can just be devastating. And as mentioned, this is our way to protect ourselves, our community, and get back and put this pandemic in the rearview mirror.
I'll just circle back to the ticket out of the pandemic. Thank you for sharing that. I keep forgetting you're not just the chief medical officer, but you work at the ER at one of the hospitals here. So thank you for that, keeping neighbors of mine safe and healthy. I really appreciate that. So another question that's come up is there was an article in one of our local papers, and it says Alaska to offer vaccines to seafood workers. What's the state's perspective on that, of opening up that tier?
Yeah, so currently all critical infrastructure workers who are 50 and above are eligible for vaccines. So seafood workers and other critical infrastructure. The critical infrastructure list is large, and so I would encourage people to take a look at it. Include like food services, includes transportation, pilots, boat captains, all of that is included in critical infrastructure and seafood workers. We did just get our March numbers for our Pfizer and Moderna, and they are more than 50% greater than what we had last month. And on top of it, Johnson & Johnson, as well as we're starting to get vaccine in from some federal partnerships, including partnerships with pharmacies and FQHCs. There's also additional vaccine coming in from the VA and the Department of Defense, And then, as Dr. Losey had mentioned previously, you know, we have visibility on what comes in to IHS, but that's a separate allocation. So given all of those numbers and some regions that are starting to really kind of saturation of vaccine, we are anticipating moving quite rapidly through some additional tiers here in the very near future to be able to vaccinate a lot more people, and are excited to expand that, including more critical infrastructure workers, more people with underlying health conditions, and people at younger ages. So really kind of racing against these variants right now, racing against time to try to encourage people to get vaccinated as soon as possible.
Excellent. Excellent. Well, thank you for that. So, you know, we're fortunate to have Austin Roof on the line with us. You know, he's not just working at the radio station and running the radio station. He works at the school. And I figured it would be a good opportunity as a community member of Sandpoint to ask him if he has any questions that he can ask of either you or Dr. Losey. Austin?
Yeah, thanks, Paul. I appreciate the opportunity. You know, before I ask the question, I did want to say that today I get my second vaccine shot. As a teacher, I was open to that. But here across the region, people 18 years and older are free to sign up. My whole family's in the lower 48, and when they found out that we were able to do that kind of thing, they were just their jaws dropped to the floor. They just told us how lucky we are, and just for people to know that we are so fortunate to have access to the vaccines in our region the way that we do, because the rest of the lower 48 would only dream of being able to have this opportunity. So I just want to encourage everyone to take advantage of that opportunity while they can. It's such a fortunate thing that we have here. My question for Dr. Zink is, as we've been in the pandemic for a year now, historic restrictions, people are starting to get antsy to get back to normalcy. We've got the vaccine in hand. And so the push is to have more and more things that were closed for a long time open back up again. And it's very understandable that people want these things to happen, you know, sooner than later, given just, you know, missing your kids' basketball games, missing that open gym or pool time. But Dr. Zink, what are your recommendations on the statewide level when it comes to areas like the Aleutians East Borough that are starting to see some level of vaccines roll out? And I think Sandpoint's at 35% or something to that extent, probably going to get a little bit bigger here soon. But when can we start opening up the gym for open gym? When can we open up the pool again? When can we have basketball games with wide attendance? Does the state have any recommendations for these sorts of things?
Yeah, it's a great question. And I think it fits a little bit into your first comment about how lucky we are to have as much vaccine as we do in the state and getting it out. If you have a population that is mainly vaccinated, so we think that herd immunity probably needs 70 to 80% at least of your community to be vaccinated, which is going to be hard to reach because kids can't be vaccinated yet, and they are part of our herd. They're part of our community. And so that makes it a little bit more challenging in that sense. It's hard for COVID to spread amongst that community. There just isn't enough people that have susceptibility to be able to replicate that virus, or, you know, can get the virus and let it move from one person to another. So when we get to the community level, we are starting to see many communities around the state that are already at that region, where 90% of those in their community are already vaccinated, which is great. But there's also, you know, individual decisions that can start to change once you're vaccinated. So, for example, my in-laws who don't live in the state have not been able to get vaccinated. We have not seen them, you know, since this pandemic began, and are really anxious for them to get vaccinated because, you know, my kids can see them. We can, you know, be able to kind of get together. You're able to get safely be with other people who are vaccinated in a way that you aren't when one group or the other is not vaccinated, versus my parents were able to get vaccinated and are super excited, waiting for the 2 weeks after their second dose, because then that will be when they are fully vaccinated. Even when I got fully vaccinated, you know, one of my first things was like, I got to go back to the dentist and get my hair cut. And so wear a mask at those things. But there are lots of things that we need to do, and that individual decision we can be making and moving forward. The other thing, too, is, again, if you are vaccinated, fully vaccinated, you don't need to quarantine if you are exposed. So that makes a really big difference for, you know, if you do have to travel, or, you know, COVID does enter your community, or you play a basketball team from another community. You know, once we get to the point where more people are kind of playing or able to move, and say there is a case, then people don't need to quarantine if they were exposed. So There's individual level decisions. Quarantining is no fun. And so this can help really minimize your chance of being exposed and being able to spread it to others. So we're seeing individuals make individual decisions. We're starting to see communities make decisions based on vaccination. We're starting to see kind of travel restrictions. In fact, our travel ordinance did say for kind of the recommendations that if you have a negative test and you're vaccinated, you don't need to do that strict social distancing after you travel because it just really helps minimize the transmission. So lots more that we could do. I think we all just, man, want to play basketball, go to the gym, and see our loved ones and have gatherings. I mean, that's who we are as humans, and that is critical to our mental health. And our physical health all matter. We sometimes joke that we're not just the Department of COVID. You know, we're the Department of Health and Social Services, and our mission is the health and well-being of all Alaskans. And that includes mental and physical health. And this has taken a huge toll on all of us, and we need to get back to gathering and connecting. But to get there safely, we need people to get vaccinated.
Austin,
can I ask a quick follow-up question? Yeah, that definitely touches on it, but I think it opens up the door to a big question about, I don't think Sandpoint or King Cove could get to that, you know, quote-unquote herd immunity 70% without teens and children being vaccinated. I've heard that Moderna is doing studies on 12 to 17-year-olds. You can get the Pfizer if it's 16 and up. When do you think we're going to be able to have our my children, you know, who are in junior high or elementary or high school, get a vaccine? Is it Johnson & Johnson open for younger ages?
Johnson & Johnson's not open to younger ages yet. They are doing studies down to 12, and then there's an additional vaccine that's doing vaccine studies down to 6. That being said, you know, while vaccine isn't eligible to everyone, including our kids yet, there are other things that are eligible, like masks. And we even see some early preliminary data from schools showing, you know, teachers are actually a little bit more likely to give it to students than students giving it to kids. So if we get all our teachers vaccinated, their chance of transmitting it to kids is less. And until we can get them vaccinated, you know, having them using testing and masking as other ways to minimize transmission. And many of the small communities, like Sandpoint and others, you know, just using travel as a way to try to keep it out and testing around travel can be another safe way to move forward. So I think it's important to remember that vaccines are a step in a series of tools. And just like you, like the Swiss cheese model or, you know, multiple fishing nets, you know, we try to catch this virus at many levels. And so even if your community isn't 70, 80% fully vaccinated, it does not mean that you can't start to consider more gatherings, more restriction lifting as you're able to get those who are most vulnerable vaccinated. Those who are 65 and above really make a big difference for the number of people who really get sick and die. But if we can get all of our adults vaccinated, that will help protect our kids, even if we're not at that 70%. And then we can use other things like testing, you know, around things like basketball and travel to help to minimize the risk of entrance there and to protect our kids. So we have, you know, we have an obligation to our children to help them grow and to thrive. And by getting vaccinated, we help keep the virus out of the community to make it less for them. So this is our chance to protect our herd of our kids by getting vaccinated and then using these other tools as well.
I really appreciate that, Dr. Zhang. Thank you so much for your response on that.
So, Austin, I know our time's coming to an end here. I just received a text from a community member that I wanted to share with Dr. Zhang. Your answers are easy to follow and you stay on point. Thank you for your guidance. And I think that sums it up right there. You know, you changed the words from the initial conversation from vaccine hesitancy to vaccine confidence. I'm taking out of this is our ticket out of the pandemic. So I just urge everyone in the community to call the clinic, get on the list, roll up your sleeve, have confidence in this vaccine. It's there to save lives and get us back to normal. I'm going to turn it over to Dr. Losi for some final words, and then I'll turn it over to Dr. Zhang.
Okay, thank you. This is Dr. Losi. I appreciate Dr. Zhang being able to join us. And yes, speaking in language that's easy to understand for our community members. I just wanted to share some numbers. As of last Friday, so I usually gather the numbers Friday around lunchtime. So as of last Friday, we've given 760 first doses in our region. And of those, 507 actually have received their second doses. So I'm just really happy about these numbers. Of course, I'd love to see it increase in our bigger community, Sandpoint and King Cove. So as Paul says, you know, call the clinic, roll up your sleeves, please get the vaccine. it is our ticket out of this pandemic. We do want things to return to a more normal sense as they were before. I don't know that we'll ever be back to normal, or at least not anytime soon, but getting this vaccine is really our ticket to be on our way. So thank you all for listening, and again, thanks for Dr. Zink.
Thank you, Dr. Losey. Dr. Zink, do you have any closing parting words for our community?
Yeah, I just keep the questions coming. It's important that you ask questions about if you're concerned or what's going on. We are here to help share any information, good or bad, that you have there. You know, to Dr. Losey's comment about getting back to normal, you know, we have many things that we've learned from this pandemic, and in some ways that I hope we change from this, that we improve from this, that we stay more connected as a state. But really, getting vaccinated and getting out of this pandemic is up to each individual Alaskan. It's always been up to Alaskans. We've asked people to do so much to respond to this pandemic. And the only reason we're at where we're at is because of you and because of each individual Alaskan making those decisions. And now we have the individual decision to get vaccinated. And just thank you to Dr. Losey, to Austin, to Paul. You guys have an incredible team that is getting vaccine out. It's logistically challenging. It's not always simple on the back end. But working hard for you all to get vaccines out there, to get those resources and tools. And hopefully we'll have lots more basketball games soon and gatherings soon. And just like the sun coming back, it's coming back fast right now. Vaccines is coming in fast. And this too shall pass. This pandemic will be in the rearview mirror, but it's going to really depend on how we act together, making this decision collectively so that we can get there as fast as possible and have a fantastic summer.
Thank you, Dr. Zink. And I'm just going to say it one more time. Call the clinic. We have great staff. We have great vaccinators, great providers. Take advantage of it. Get on the list. Show that vaccine confidence and get your ticket out of the pandemic. Austin, that's all I have from Eastern Aleutian Tribes. I'd like, again, thank Dr. Losey, thank Dr. Zink, and you, Austin, and all the community members for joining.
Thank you, Mr. Mueller. We appreciate you guys coming online and sharing this information. I would just say going out to that, you know, they're not scared of questions here. So if you've got questions in the community, if you want answers, don't be scared to call these people and ask. You know, they're not scared. There's not a big conspiracy behind this. It's an opportunity for us to ask questions, get information, and get vaccinated. So thank you to you three for coming on and doing this. We cannot say thank you enough.